Hey guys, welcome back to the Love in Dubai show. It is the first Monday back to work after a very busy holiday. So we had a big show for you. We spoke about the GCC urging restraint following the Iran-Israel attacks. We spoke about ticket scams, getting stuck at Dubai airport, and the man behind the 777 reveals the tips to actually getting it done.
And so we would really love if you would subscribe to the Love in Dubai Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. And as always, don't forget to enjoy the show.
Good morning, Dubai. Welcome back to the Love in Dubai Show, where we go through the top trending stories that everyone across the country is talking about. It's back to work Monday. For the first time in years, both public and private sectors enjoyed a full week break. And let me tell you, the city was thriving with Eid family get-togethers. It rained, in case you're out of the country. Abdul-Majid played at the Coca-Cola Arena, and Elro XXL at Dubai Media City went off. Were you there? Did you even get a break is our question to you. Our top stories today are:
the GCC urges restraint following Iran-Israel attacks.
Another concert scam, 228 Aura Festival ticket alert.
As well, expats are lifted to safety from Iraq mountains.
We're also going to be talking about Dubai Airport. What was your experience last night? And also, Chrissy Teigen and John Legend were stuck in DXB for a couple of hours, and this was their experience.
As well, later on the show, for 7 days, seven ultramarathons, seven Emirates, we are going to be interviewing the man behind the 777.
And how he did it. It is day 191 since the genocide began in Gaza, according to the Palestinian Ministry of Health in the Gaza Strip. The death toll has risen to 33,729, while 76,371 have been injured, and more than 1.9 million people have been displaced from their homes. In today's weather, it's going to be sunny, but keep an eye out for tomorrow because there's a storm brewing with heavy rains and thunders expected. More of that on our Instagram today, you have no doubt.
Well, let's talk about everyone is getting back from holidays. It was a long weekend, let me tell you. And a lot of people did travel. And look at the queue. But look at your queue.
I know.
Can you explain that?
Can anyone explain if anyone is watching, was coming through DXB in the last couple of days, ahead of these holidays, like this is one of the biggest holidays of the year, as we mentioned, it's the first time both public and private sector had a really long break. A lot of people will always take advantage of that to travel, leave the country. So I came into DXB last night expecting big queues. A lot of people sent us DMs of the big queues. So I was on high alert, assuming that it would take me longer. That was mine. So I think, like a lot of people send us this, I think people just don't video the good stuff. Because I was quite nervous coming in, you know, coming down that, so I took the train, I can't remember what terminal I was in, and you come down the elevator and you're going to that security expecting there to be a big break.
And then there's
that was
that.
Mine.
Yeah, but you know, I think technically, I think what happened is that was at a different time.
I would say so, yeah.
And that was like, but either way, I think everyone's, like, if you would show this to those people, they're going to be like, what?
I know.
Since when?
And even the taxi outside. So we got a good few DMs about the taxi situation. Mm-hmm. And when I went out, it was perfectly orderly. There was one, you know, you do a strip of queue and then the queue moves forward to get to the back of the taxi and then it moves forward. There was one long queue, 10 minutes, I was through. I got home, I was in bed, showered, unpacked by 10 p.m.
Wow.
My flight landed at 8.
Wow.
Okay, 2 hours. And I live like 40 minutes to the airport. So that's like, thank you, DXB. But I know this wasn't everyone's experience. So everyone's going to be like, how did that happen for you? I don't know. It must have been a stroke of luck or well-managed queues by DXB when I went through. But I expected like a 3 hour.
Yeah. I mean, of course, you were going to expect that. I mean, looking at that, of course, I think what happened is that people think like, oh, you know what? Let me book my flight at this time. Because then it would be more convenient for me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just like having like theories in my head.
I don't know if you book flights based on that because I usually would be price of flight and then reek out every last minute of the holiday that I possibly can. So you're coming in, and that's what most people do because you're leaving the country. It's going to cost you a bit to leave. So therefore, let's enjoy it as much as we can. So you think coming back in on Sunday evening, and David, you are going to be hit with queues. And look, people obviously were, but I just got lucky in every queue.
I mean, you did get really lucky because like, it looks really empty. It has no one. I mean, I've never seen an airport that empty, but lucky you, and I bet everyone's like, you know, like they are frustrated because they are done with their holiday and they are going to get back to work. Speaking of that, which we are today, and everyone is like, oh my God, back to Monday. I'm excited.
We are excited. It's 9:35 on a Monday morning. Good morning to everyone tuning in. We love to read your comments before, during, and after the show. So let's jump into our top story today.
So for our top story is the GCC urges restraint following Iran-Israel attacks. The GCC is calling for self-restraint amidst Iran and Israel attacks on the 1st of April. Israel, as we know, launched an airstrike that targeted the Iranian consulate in Damascus, which killed 7 Revolutionary Guards officers, including 2 senior commanders. Iran then launched drone attacks at Israel directly from its territory in apparent retaliation for Israel's airstrike.
Iran citizens took to the streets in celebration after launching the attack, and the Secretary General of the Gulf Cooperation Council, GCC, Jassim Mohammed Abuldui, urged all parties involved to exercise maximum self-restraint to prevent further escalation that could threaten regional stability and civilian safety in a statement released.
Now as well, additionally, a couple of Emirates flights to Amman were cancelled after Jordan closed its airspace on Sunday. However, after several hours, Jordan's airspace along with Israel's and Lebanon's reopened.
We have this statement released by DXB last night. Due to airspace closures across the Middle East region, some flight operations at DXB have been impacted. We advise you to check the status of your flight with your airline. We're working closely with our partners to manage any potential disruptions and to ensure your safety. The note on this is they are monitoring the situation carefully, as are all airlines. So if you are flying, check with them to see if your flight has been impacted.
Yeah, I have a colleague back then who has posted on her story. She was leaving Amman to get back to Dubai. However, her flight got cancelled. She hasn't posted an update regarding that. Maybe I should check in on her. But yeah, I mean, it's sad to see that happen.
Flights were cancelled. But as we said, the statement from DXB came actually 18 hours after the attack. So people are monitoring it closely. So as we said, if you were like those people who have had your flight disrupted, it looks like they actually are back up and running, but it will be monitored closely.
So now let's jump to our next story, another concert scam. I mean, do they not learn? 228 Aura Festival tickets scam alert. Now, people are suspicious at 228 Aura. Of course, it's claiming to be hosting a concert featuring all the top artists in Dubai in December. However, many are speculating that this is another scam.
You might recall there was a Drake concert that was confirmed to be fake. OVO Tour posted a series of stories exposing themselves as a scam. And they said at the time they're planning to refund everyone who brought tickets. We'd love to get an update on that. The 28 Aura website looks legitimate, as you can see behind us. And a few people already purchased tickets.
Now, as well, there is a PSA to everyone. Authorities issued a warning that about fake social media advertisements selling event tickets at seemingly too good to be true prices. It is important to be vigilant on the internet and remember to only purchase tickets through trusted sources. Do we not learn?
Well, no, but we always talk about how scammers are just going above and beyond. Mm-hmm. And like to create a fake website like this that looks legitimate, particularly in the UAE, particularly when we have concerts coming through, it's really hard to always make sure that what you're purchasing from is legitimate. But they have released a statement, authorities released a statement basically highlighting to people, make sure that it's coming from an official source. You can usually see when you go in to buy a ticket, the website that you're buying it from, I would usually like check on Platinum List if you're
that's
not sure.
True. Yeah.
But usually in these two cases, the same with the Drake OVO Tour one as well, people were already thinking it was sus.
I mean, the thing is at this point, I don't know about everyone, but you just need to know where to get your tickets from. You know what I mean? It's like you either get them from like stores, like version or so on, or from Platinum List online. But of course, you know, I do understand why people would, you know, I mean, the concert was not even announced.
Yeah, but they announced it. This is the thing. So it just goes on to their own Instagram pages. Like, there's no big announcement for it. And that's the only way you call sus. And then you look at the comments, and what was happening on Overtour was people were calling it out as a scam. Yeah. And then that actual page was deleting the scam comments. However, as you said, it wasn't announced anywhere else. Like, the fact that these were big artists coming through, it does look real. But imagine Hozier, like, it's a concert you want to see.
Yeah.
But if you're ever suspicious, and you said people were suspicious, so just go on to the event pages, and usually there's something that doesn't look quite right. And in this case, people 100%. Were quick to call out that it was a spam.
100%. Just like, don't fall for this, because I think after this, I don't know if they're doing this, because, like, for example, if they've seen that Drake, whoever posted the Drake concert got caught, why would you do that? I mean, they posted The Weeknd. Come on, The Weeknd.
But it is believable. This is what I'm saying. And I see we can sit here and say, don't get caught out. It is easy to get caught out. Yeah. So just be vigilant, I would say. Be vigilant. Yeah. Speaking of being vigilant, we're going to jump into our next story. This is a reminder of safety in the mountains. So expats were airlifted to safety in Ras Al Khaimah. So this is a shout out to Ras Al Khaimah police this weekend. While the rest of us were on a break, they were quick to respond to calls for help from two hikers in urgent need of assistance.
As well, the Air Wing Division of Ras Al Khaimah Police received a call after one hiker broke his leg at 4,500 feet. They promptly dispatched a helicopter to collect the hikers and provide them with the urgent care they required.
This serves as a reminder to all of us about the importance of exercising caution when exploring the beautiful surroundings of the UAE, particularly as we lead into the summer months. You might want to do nothing more than head to the mountains where the weather is a little bit cooler. And obviously you have nature, it's beautiful, but Mother Nature is not forgiving. And if you don't go prepared, if you don't know your route, if you don't bring water, if you're not hydrated, if you don't have snacks, things can happen. This isn't a unique story. I feel like every couple of months, particularly after a busy weekend, you see rescue workers needing to go to the call of people stuck in the mountains. Something bad has happened. So it's just always to be cautious. Even though these routes are listed online, you still don't know them that well. So if you're not sure, go with someone who knows the area.
100%. And it's not only that. I've noticed this during Eid. Police are working. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen that in Dubai Mall. I've seen that in a lot of malls, because, like, they're, like, managing a lot of things. So the fact that the police are there to ensure your safety, and the fact that for you to have fun, for you to experience Saeed in the most amazing, calm ways possible, it's mesmerizing in a way. Like, you know, because they should as well have their own break, and they should as well be able to celebrate with their families and their loved ones. So it's just, like, I would say it's very amazing, and the fact that they have gone to that extent, you know, with helicopters to save the hikers that were caught up in Ras Al Khaimah, it's just like, it just shows a lot how the UAE is actually there for its residents no matter what. 100%. I mean, I've seen it like live. I was at the mall with my sister, and I was like, wow, you know what I mean? It's like, because, like, if I was the police, I'd probably be like, oh, why am I working during Eid, right? And it's like, they were, like, smiling in our faces, and we're like, thanks.
That's so true. And there's a good few videos of whether it was security teams just, like, bringing the good vibes across the country. So a massive thank you to everyone who was working across the last week. We appreciate your support and help when needed. Let's jump into our next story. So two legends, Chrissy Teigen and John Legend, were stuck in Dubai airport. So the celebrity couple and their kids were off on a vacay, but it looks like they got a little stranded for a couple of hours, and the mom of four posted shots of the family in DXB on April 7th.
It looked pretty cozy as mom model and entrepreneur Chrissy Teigen tried to get, you know, some shut-eye on the return from their Thailand holiday.
So we don't know the reason for the delay, but Chrissy posted about it, as she regularly does. Apart from the airport delay, it looks like the family had an absolute ball on their holiday in Thailand. Chrissy shared snapshots from their journey on Saturday, April 6th, via her Instagram stories. So there's a video. She's just like struggling. Like, where is she? And did anyone else see her? Because they posted about it, and it went kind of viral on all the gossipy US websites that she was stranded on Dubai airport. I think someone said stranded on Dubai airport floor, and I was like, there is no way. Like, there is no way that Chrissy Teigen was on a Dubai airport floor, because it just wouldn't happen. But
she looks like she is, by the way, you see that black thing? She looks like she is, like, relaxed on, let's say, a couch, like, as well that.
She's got to be in, like, she's definitely in a lounge. Do you think they have, do you ever, like, go to nice places? Do you think they've got, like, celebrity lounges? They must have, like, VIP. And I wonder how you get into them.
I mean, when we're going to be celebrities, Casey, we're going to know. But I think technically, of course they do. Because like, there is no way that a lounge or even an airport is going to...
But why would... Because so many people come through Dubai airports. And you have your lounges, like your Emirates First Class. But I don't think they've got like a separate one. Because, no. And then who would they decide? So maybe like, you know, politicians, dignitaries, ambassadors, maybe they would go to the separate one. Mm-hmm. I think I was in a lounge before and I saw quite a well-known American
football
electoral candidate and I was quite surprised to see her.
Yeah.
But she was obviously just like, but then, because they can't decide.
Yeah.
And then who would decide? So I'm sure she must have been in like the Emirates First Class lounge.
She, for sure.
At a guess.
For sure, 100%, you know, for sure. But I don't think that, you know, like... Chrissy was trying in a way to go like, oh my God, I'm stuck in Dubai airport or whatever it is. You know, however, like the, I would say the media likes to translate things in their own way and like to like elevate things in their own way. But we all know Dubai airport is not to be the Dubai airport. You know what I mean? Like, I
voted
think that
one of the,
like,
the best luxurious airport for travel over the break. So I'm sure she was enjoying it. But you know what 100%. I think she was showing is that because she's got four kids, she really shows the mom struggle sometimes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there was like in some of the stories, there were the kids fighting over the tablet or they're trying to get like battery for the tablet. And I think a lot of moms could relate to that moment of being like, travel itself, I imagine, with kids is not easy. Like
it's
saw parents, I was on a 15-hour flight and I really didn't mind actually, but there was a baby crying right behind me. For some reason I was okay. I think maybe I was like snoozing in and out, but so hard for the parents, like mixing the food and things. So if you're traveling with four kids, even if you're traveling first class, like
so hard.
Well, I mean,
for
like, economy would be harder, but 100%. Props to Chrissy.
I mean, you know, she's shown over time that she is a very good mom. She shows up for her kids and she takes care of them. She cooks for them. She's a model. She has a lot of things to do. And I just, you know, as you said, like, I just can't imagine having one kid. So I just cannot imagine how is it for her to have like four kids.
We don't know. Exactly true. Four kids is just unbelievable. I come from a family of six and I'm like, Mom, how?
How?
Well,
your mom needs to give us some tips and tricks.
I think it was a different time. But let's jump into our next story, 9:48 on this back to work Monday. I hope you're all having a brilliant start to the day. Let us know how you're feeling in the comments. We love to read them before, during, and after the show.
So, you guys, this weekend was the Eid weekend, and we have been to this Love and Loves. Of course, Love and Loves is the space. It's called Jazeel. That's me. It's not me who posted it. You know, the Instagram page of the of the restaurant posted it. But this place, I promise you, Casey, like if you would want to actually feel the Syrian vibes, and whether it's like music, food, everything really, you can just go there. And mind you, but you will need to have like, the party starts at like 11:30-ish p.m.
What?
Yes. I came back home at four. I was literally, I came back home at like 3:30 and I was like,
I'm sorry, it starts
up
at 11:30 p.m.
Yeah.
No, so where is it? So this is our segment where we choose things that Farah and I particularly love that we want to share with you. And if you have any places that you love as well, please share them with us.
Yes.
So I've never heard of, is it Jazeel and where is it?
Yeah. So technically it's in Silicon Oasis. It used to have two branches, one in Motor City, one in Silicon. And the one in Motor City closed, we don't know why, I think another place was put in it. I don't know, but it just like closed.
It's gone.
In Silicon is there. And it's called Jazeel. It used to be called Al Arab, but now it's called Jazeel. However, the owner is still the same owner and he is Syrian himself. So he just like, you know, wants to like showcase the Syrian vibes to everyone. And I promise you, you go there, you're going to like dance. You're going to have so much fun.
Fun.
I went there on Saturday and I saw a legend. A Syrian legend. She is an actress, and she's quite known. She's very she's old, but like she's known for like so long. She has acted in crazy series like Bab al Hara, of course. If you guys, I don't know if you know it, but it is a Syrian show that just like showcases, you know, old Syria and how it used to be like, which is not true. That's not how we talk. But see, that's her.
So yeah. And is this like, so it's a restaurant mainly that you go with your family for food, but then sometimes they'll bring in performances for special occasions?
No, it's every Saturday there's a performance. And it's like a thing. Because like every Saturday, you know, like you will find like Syrians like, oh, having fun, celebrating, you know. And we went there to celebrate my cousin's graduation. He came back from Turkey and it's really nice. I would really want to take you there for Syrian vibes.
And what, so you said like it starts 11:30, like the party vibe, and then you didn't get home until 3 or 4. So what is the age group range? Like, you know, is this for families with kids or is this for like, I don't know.
No.
Gen Z, mid-20s, no. mid-30s.
It is.
Teenagers, like what's the age group range?
So technically, kids who are under 18 are not allowed. Sadly, because we wanted my cousin who was under 18 to get through.
No, technically.
Because exactly, I think, yeah, because like technically. And we were like, please, can we get him? Can we get him? They're like, no, we can't. Because well, we couldn't get him, of course, because, you know, it's like shisha. So you can go there, shisha, have barbecue, Syrian barbecue, have appetizers, everything. And by the way, it's for a good, for a really good price as well.
So over 18s.
Yes.
Over 18s.
Only over 18. But I would say that it is most suitable for like a big group, a really big group, and as well like family who loves to party.
Date night?
Yeah. And no.
Not date night?
No, it's not date night, no.
Okay.
Because like, you know, it's like Dabke, you know, I don't know if you guys know, of course, like Palestinians, Jordanians, Lebanese, Syrians, they know like the Dabke. The Dabke is like a thing, you know, for the Middle East, but it's like, for example, like you can tell, like I have a lot of videos like Dabke, like, but my voices are like screaming in the back of the video.
That's what I want to see. I don't want to see these people smiling for the camera. I want to see you showing. I want to see you doing the Dabke. That's all I want to see.
Oh my god, I was tired. And by the way, it's a really good workout. It's really, because you keep on jumping up and down. But even the singer was like, when Muna Wasif was there, the actress. Everyone was like very, I would say, he was singing elegant music, elegant, nice Syrian music. But then the moment she left, he was like singing, ah, let's party. But yeah, she stayed there as well. She didn't stay there for like long. But if you would want to catch like the full party experience, stay till 2:30 a.m.
Love that. So for proper Syrian vibes in Dubai, head to?
Jazil.
It's 9:53, which means it's time for our next guest.
So our next guest has, honestly, I don't know how did he do it, but he ran 7 Emirates in 7 days, and he told us all about how, and if even you would want to join, and of course you guys would never want to miss that. So tune in to know all about Stephen Miller, who is the mastermind behind the 777 Marathon. Welcome back to the Love in Dubai show. Today's guest is Stephen Miller, who recently achieved the remarkable challenge of completing the 777. Welcome to the show, Stephen. I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
I mean, we do have a lot of questions regarding you achieving the remarkable 777. If you could just tell us a little bit more about that before we dive deep.
Sure. So in March of last year, I had finished a 100-kilometer run, and this was in Italy. I came back to Dubai, and I was like, what's next? Like, I want to do something here. I want to do something bigger, kind of in my backyard, the UAE. And so I created this challenge called 777, which is running 7 ultramarathons, so that's 50 kilometers a day, for 7 days in the 7 Emirates of the UAE. And so we kicked off the training in May last year. We had 7 runners in total doing this. And then we finished the challenge in end of Feb.
So you did say that it's a challenge. So have you ever encountered like barriers or challenges to the fitness, you know, that you aim to address through your content?
Barriers in fitness, yeah, absolutely. I think we had like the challenges that I've sort of set for myself are typically quite big. And the work and the discipline and the dedication that goes into it is firstly extremely important, but it's also extremely difficult to do so, right? So we always have very clear training programs. We've got a lot of support around us, and all these things have been like super helpful to make sure we achieve our goals.
So as I've told you before, the show is that, you know, having everyone follow a very healthy lifestyle that is including fitness is not easy. So what is like, what are some key messages and advices that you would give to people who would want to pursue fitness?
I think the biggest advice I can give is to start small. I think a lot of people want to start too big too quickly. Like they want to work out an hour a day every day, and it's just not feasible when you're starting from zero, right? Like if you haven't worked out in a long time and you want to get back into it, I think doing maybe 10 minutes a day, right? Like just going for a walk or maybe doing a few squats, like starting small with tiny habits and then building up from there to make it something that's part of your lifestyle. Because I know a lot of people struggle with time management, for instance, right? Like they have their jobs, they might have family or kids or whatever else that may be. And I think just trying to squeeze things into your day and doing it in a very small way makes it a lot easier to move rather than to go big.
So when someone says that you have done the 777 challenge, to the mind, it might seem like undoable. So what actually inspired you to take on this challenge and even create it and go for it?
So I think the first thing for me is I always set goals that are extremely big, and I want to accomplish things that people think are impossible, right? And for me, when I first started training for the challenge, it was impossible, right? But like after 9-10 months of training, it became much more of a feasible goal. The second thing is, which is very important, we wanted to raise money for charity. So we partnered up with the UNHCR and we raised money for the refugee crisis in Sudan. And it was important because we get to voluntarily run, right? Like we choose to run while people all around the world are forced to run from their homes or from their families. And so for us, there was this strong why in terms of why we do it, and it was for other people. It wasn't just for ourselves.
So as well, speaking on the 777, people, it's very hard, of course, you know. So there must have been, I would assume, a preparation process mentally and physically. So if you could just like walk us through the mental and physical preparation that you had to go through to be able to complete the challenge.
We were very lucky that we had really strong coaches. So we worked on not just running, we worked on our strength, we worked on our mobility, but we also worked on our mental health. Like we had amazing partners all around us that kind of helped us with this. So that was super helpful. And I think just in terms of a mental hack that I had, one was I never missed the workouts that were scheduled for me. Because if I missed the workout, I knew I was going to be further removed from achieving my goal that was happening in February. And the other thing is that I just didn't have any excuses. I was like, unless I break something or unless I snap something, like I'm going to do this workout, I'm going to do this run. So those are kind of like the mental, those are kind of the cool mental prep things that I had.
Well, in what ways do you believe that your participation in the 777 challenge inspired you to pursue your fitness goals? Sorry.
I think it was all part of it, right? I've been an athlete since I was like 6 years old. Mm-hmm. So for me, there's not necessarily, like fitness is part of my life. Running is now part of my life. So it's something that I do, like fitness is for me something I do on a daily basis. Like for me, movement is so important. Like moving every day is so important for your mental health, it's so important for your energy levels, it's so important for just general health and well-being. So it's something that I've constantly kept as part of my lifestyle, and not necessarily that 777 led to implementing that habit, it was just something that was always there.
Well, of course, after you have done with your, you know, 777, sorry, challenge, you must have been so tired. So how did you overcome the fatigue that was, you know, after the challenge?
That's a good question. Physically, I was okay. Like, I didn't have any injuries or any pains or anything like that. For me, mentally, I was exhausted. Like, I was just very tired for probably a good week. And I was very forgiving with myself, right? Like, I knew that after running 350 kilometers in 7 days, the body wasn't just going to bounce back and, like, be ready to go back to work and, like, do all these different things. So I basically gave myself a week, maybe even 2 weeks actually, of let's just relax, you know, take our time, eat well, sleep well, hydrate, like the basics of health. And I did that repeatedly for as long as it took.
So there must have, or I'm not going to assume, but would you say that was there a harder challenge than the 777? And if yes, then what is it?
For myself? Or mm-hmm. was there one that's, oh, before yeah, I did 777?
Yeah. Or other than 777, a challenge harder?
So for me personally, I haven't done one or planned one that was harder. But I know you guys had on Evren recently. Yeah. And Evren is firstly a very good friend, but he also, his business, everybody's helped us with 777. He did obviously an insane challenge shortly after ours, and I take my hat off to him, right? Like, it was just super impressive and definitely, you know, a lot more running than we did.
Yeah, I mean, we interviewed him. He was really great, you know, explaining it and so on. But of course, you know, like, this is not the end, you know what I mean? Because, like, I feel like fitness people or people who are very interested in fitness and pursue it, they just, like, they don't stop at a challenge. So what's next? What challenges are you looking for next?
So what we've realized over the last 9 months is that a lot of people are interested in running, right? Mm-hmm. 777 as a challenge is something that might feel very, like, inapproachable to a lot of people. Like, if you see 777 and you see, oh, these guys are running 350K in a week, you're gonna be like, I don't wanna do that, right? Like, I don't wanna be a part of that. So what we're trying to do next is we're trying to continue to build our community of runners and start helping to train them for whatever it is that they want to set out to do, right? Whether you're running your first 5 kilometers, whether you're running your first marathon, like, we're basically building out a community that has that as sort of ingrained within it. We're going to create training programs, we're going to have free community runs. And that's sort of the focus that I want to do now. Like, I've done these big running challenges, and for me, it's kind of time to give back to the community, right? And to build a platform that people can be a part of, and that they can train and they can run for whichever goal they might have.
Well, thank you so much. You know, because, like, we are looking forward to see what you will be doing next, you know, regarding, like, fitness and running. And that was the end of our interview with Stefan. So if you guys would want to go for a run, for sure, why don't you just try the 777 run? And of course, it's going to be, I'm not going to say that because I haven't tried it, but I think Stefan can for sure ensure that it is going to be a good experience.